There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
All 19 schools in the Central Kitsap School District are getting secure entrances. They're getting them installed as part of a bond measure passed by voters 2 years ago. This is long overdue as we talk about pouring more money into teacher salaries when those teachers actually want to do less work. Now, the money should actually be going to things like this. This is exactly what will keep kids safe. This is part of what will keep kids safe. Now, Cairo 7 reports the future main entrance to the new Central Kitsap High School will restrict direct access to the campus and instead funnel visitors into the main office where they will have their IDs checked, where they will be screened through a computer system that checks against all of these different lists like the National Sex Offender Registry. And presuming they're clear, they get a badge and then they can go on and do what it is that they're there for. Now, if they're not clear, if they get any sort of hit, then the principal has to be the one to clear this person for entry. Now, why might the principal clear someone who is on some sort of list? Well, maybe they're there because they are teaching kids how not to go down the path that they went down, right? So there's always that. Because I was thinking about that, just like, why would you? I hope some lists just automatically, I don't care why you're there, you don't get in. But this is good news. Assistant Superintendent Doug Newell says this was the best solution to help kids and parents feel safe.
If that is something that is ongoing, how do we do it in a positive manner? And it really was, how do we create better environments, but be respectful of the conversation that's occurring not only in Washington State, but across the country.
Now, Central Kitsap schools say they're going to have the secure entrances at all of their schools by the end of next year. In early 2020, that according to Cairo 7, where we found this story. At the debate on Wednesday between Dino Rossi and Dr. Kim Schreier, producer Darren, did you know that Kim Schreier is a pediatrician? Did you know that?
Yes, that's okay. Why she calls herself Dr. Kim Schreier.
Yeah, she's a pediatrician. She's a doctor.
Thus, I call her Dr. Yeah. Kim Schreier.
Kim Schreier, the doctor.
The doctor.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you were aware of that. And folks
PhD.
At home. Yeah. But it just... MD. MD.
Yeah,
but
MD.
Not PhD. But I mean, but she's a doctor.
She's both.
Okay. Because she told us 17,000 times at the debate on Wednesday. She didn't really have an answer on keeping kids in school safe, but Dino Rossi did.
We look at the tragedy that happened in Florida. This person had encountered the police many different occasions. It also had history of mental illness. It wasn't flagged. He shouldn't have had a weapon in the first place. There are certain people that shouldn't have weapons. We got to make sure that they don't get them. And what I talked about before, which is having school resource officers, 296 school districts in the state, but they don't all have the same capacity. We may have to help with that. That's very possible because we have to protect our children. I think that is where we could probably find some agreement. I really do.
You would think that we'd be able to find agreement, but just this idea of having any school resource officer on some campuses in Washington State is somehow deemed controversial because of how many people here dislike cops and dislike guns. And so we're willing to, you know, allow our kids to be in environments that are not safe because of that kind of bias. So at least when it comes to secure entries on schools, that seems not controversial at all. It should not be easy for anybody to just walk onto a college or a high school campus, an elementary school campus. It shouldn't be that easy. And right now, for the vast majority of the schools out there, especially the public ones, there's not one point of entry. You should have one point of entry, multiple points of exit. That's just basic safety. That's how a lot of businesses operate. That's how we operate here at KTTH. We have one area to get into the building from, and it's secure. We have multiple exits in case of an emergency, in case we have to run out, in case someone microwaves salmon in the kitchen like they did a few months ago. It was me. And everyone got really mad. I did it. I forgot. And it wasn't on purpose. I didn't mean to do it. But that gives you the opportunity to leave. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It is Friday. You know what that means? It means I get to talk movies. And there are a couple releases this week. Only one, however, is worth your time. After a few decades of fairly lame follow-ups to that 70s classic, Michael Myers is back in the slasher flick Halloween. And it basically pretends everything that happened between the original and this follow-up didn't actually even occur.
Michael Myers is a human being who killed his sister when he was 6 years old. And he came after you. We just want to know why. We want a glimpse inside his mind.
Michael Myers murdered 5 people. And he's a human being we need to understand.
They're transferring him.
Tomorrow, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, he'll be locked away until the end of his days.
That's the idea.
Laurie, we saw him. We met with Michael. I showed him the mask. It was nothing. No response, nothing. He won't talk to anyone. Never has, but I think he might speak with you.
Jamie Lee Curtis returns as Laurie Strode, who will stop at nothing to protect herself and her family when Michael Myers escapes the transfer that they just talked about in that clip and ends up going on a killing spree where he kills way more people than he did in the first movie. I'm not a huge fan of scary movies, but this one is really, really strong. It's a quality slasher movie. And it's a slasher movie in its truest form. It doesn't take itself so seriously that you can't forgive some of the unbelievable scenes. And there are several scenes you're like, okay, that cannot really happen in real life. But the thing is, the movie is beautifully paced. It starts out slow and it builds some really strong tension. It makes it truly feel like you're in a horror movie. And then it delivers scene after brutal scene of Michael Myers doing what he's supposed to do in a movie like this, cause total havoc and kill a whole bunch of people. Now, I do have a brief spoiler, sorta. So for the next 15 seconds, if you don't want to know about one particular death, just mute us for just 15 seconds. It doesn't impact the story, but I'm going to explain one death scene for a very specific reason. I will say this movie is super graphic, but there's one death, the first one, that I found deeply, deeply disturbing, and it kind of violates this unspoken rule of movies like this, which is you don't kill adorable kids. But apparently you kill adorable kids now, at least in Halloween, because the first death scene is with like a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, a boy who's talking about how he doesn't really want to go hunting with his dad, even though he appreciates the time with his dad. He would prefer to go to dance class, and it's set up where you really feel for this kid, and then they kill him, which you should not do. It was wrong, and it kind of made me feel uncomfortable, and it wasn't quite worth what it makes you feel for the movie. Still, Halloween is very effective in a slasher movie sense, and I absolutely recommend it. Next up is a satire with Ike Barinholtz and Tiffany Haddish. It's called The Oath. It takes place in an America where the president asks people basically, hey, I want you to sign a pledge so I know that we can count on you to essentially be a champion for this country. And if you don't, there are not supposed to be any consequences, but it turns out that there are. Barinholtz and Haddish play a married couple. They are both uber progressive, and they have their conservative family over for Thanksgiving, which is a day before the deadline to sign this oath. And things are tense with plenty of disagreements over politics.
Well, what happened was I was leaving my office and a coworker decided to hit me with her car.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Yeah, I broke my clavicle and 2 bones my right foot. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lydia Wong.
What? Okay, well, I'm
I'm sorry?
Well, that's not
that's
not appropriate. I'm sorry, that's not appropriate. What?
Chris.
No, you said her last name in a way that implied that Asian women are bad drivers. That is not the case, and that is offensive. I'm sorry.
I absolutely did not say her name in a way that implied that.
There was an emphasis on the Wong.
There was no emphasis.
Well, hey, and by the way, some of them are bad drivers.
Percentage-wise, who do you think gets in more car accidents in this country, white men or Asian women?
Asian women.
No, Dad, no. White men. I wouldn't have said it if it was Asians.
But when Homeland Security agents stop by to find out why not everyone signed the oath in the household, things start to get from tense to very bloody. The oath, however, is too on the nose to be worth your time. The trailer makes it look like a laugh-out-loud comedy, but the truth is there aren't many laughs. It's more amusing and clever at times, but it's not particularly funny. That would normally be okay. The problem is this concept, which I think is a really strong one, was squandered because they don't treat it with any nuance at all. It's almost like satire for dummies. The promise of this film is there. Tiffany Haddish in particular, I think, is very strong. But she doesn't really have much to do. At least she doesn't have enough to do. It's a movie that doesn't really have anything to say after that hour mark that they hit. And it ends up making the last 30 minutes or so feel like an eternity. I love the idea, and I think there's definitely something the movie wants to say. The problem is it's just not particularly well executed. The tonal problems in this movie, it's a very dark comedy, but they try to lighten it up. It's just bizarre. It doesn't work. So I'm a big pass on The Oath. If you are going to see it, maybe it's worth a Blu-ray rental when it comes out, but it's definitely not worth seeing in theaters. I would like to know what you guys are going to see this weekend in theaters. Are you going to go see Halloween? Are you going to ignore me and go see The Oath? Let me know. Send us a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Coming up next, Dino Rossi joins us. Welcome back to The Jason Rancho on AM 770, KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. An extremely rare and mysterious paralysis is impacting kids all across the country. It's called acute flaccid myelitis, AFM, and it's already impacting families here in Washington State. 8 kids are suffering from it here, and it's scary because there's no known cause and there's no known cure, and it seems to be spreading. Joining us with more is Eben Brown from Fox News Radio. Eben, good morning.
Good morning.
So what exactly is AFM?
Well, it's something very similar to polio, and that is probably what is causing it as well, that a polio-like type virus could very well be the cause of this, and that what happens is when a child gets it, they begin to lose sensation, and they feel numb, and their face may droop, and then they eventually begin to lose control of their limbs and their motor skills and need to be cared for. It isn't something that may be totally lifelong, but if treatment is not given in terms of physical therapies and assistive devices, that they might not recover from this. We don't really know what the end game is yet, but there are about 60-some-odd confirmed cases, another 60 or so being investigated by healthcare workers, investigators like the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
The best course of action that we can tell people right now is to make sure that you're practicing good hygiene, that you're not that you're preventing mosquito bites, because we don't know if it's a mosquito vector type of virus, and also to vaccinate, because that's always a good thing to do. We don't know if the polio vaccine has been preventing this for all this year, and then people not vaccinating are now susceptible to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always possible that's something. But it is a pretty scary disease. I'm sure these parents who are dealing with children now that are stricken with it, who just weeks ago were perfectly healthy kids, are incredibly heartbroken. While health officials are telling everyone not to panic, it is something that people do need to keep their eye on.
Absolutely.
And if they do have any thought in their head that their kid could be suffering from this, that they've had a fever for a week and it won't go away, and now the kid says they feel tingly and nummy and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Go to the doctor soon, quickly, because with anything, the sooner treatment begins, the sooner, the better outcome you could have.
So what are the ages of, when we say it's impacting kids, what kind of age range are we talking about?
The average age, I think, is like 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
According to the CDC, that it seems to be, on the most part, younger children. We're not talking about teenagers, but there's nothing that could prevent a teenager from getting it. And there are cases, I think, in history anyway, that say an adult could be struck in with it too. So but it is something that more often than not will affect small children.
Well, and Eben, I'm looking at some of the details here, and what's curious is in recent history, at least, 2014, 2016, and now 2018, you're seeing these spikes around the August and September months. And I'm assuming that could offer potentially some hints to, you know, medical professionals who are trying to figure out why this is happening. But it is weird that it's happened. You know, it's skipping a year. It happens 1 year, stops. Then it happens again, then stops. And then it happens again around the same exact time.
I'm sure all of that will factor into their investigation. I mean, I couldn't speak to that personally, but I'm sure that that is something that's going to be noted by investigators looking into this. We have seen over the past number of years a lot of diseases that we have not seen in great numbers in a long time in this country all of a sudden pop up and affect a bunch of kids. And when does it seem to happen? Well, it seems to happen when kids are kind of out of school and running around and playing with each other. So August, September, it's still, you know, summer vacation for a lot of people. We've seen it happen during other types of break times during the year when a bunch of kids all go to theme parks. And then we see a measles outbreak and things like that. And of course, some of this, again, comes back to vaccination.
Yes.
You know, and that's another issue. But
well, it's not totally another issue, right?
Timing is probably something that's going to be looked at.
But on the vaccination thing, I mean, let's just use this as the opportunity to tell people, stop buying in to the nonsense that some celebrities are pushing and some crazy bloggers are pushing. Get your kids vaccinated. It's incredibly important. It is not going to hurt your kid. And if you think otherwise, you are slapping medical science in the face. There is no evidence to suggest any long-term actual effects that are going to be harmful to your kids to get them vaccinated. Talk with your doctors if there are any concerns, because as you know, Evan, there are some cases in which it's not necessary or it can be dangerous, but those are incredibly rare.
I would consult. I tell every parent to consult with their pediatrician. I mean, that's the smart thing to do is to talk with the doctor if you do have concerns. But I can tell you that we used to have things like polio eliminated and measles eliminated in this country, and now we're seeing a resurgence of it. I think it's directly attributable to the fact that more and more parents are going without vaccinating their kids. And I think that that's not the smartest move. You know, that I think a child who might get a cold is better than a child with a polio-like affliction.
No kidding.
And I would think most parents would agree with that.
Yes, and so just because we talked about this for a total of like 37 seconds, I'm going to get a whole bunch of text messages telling me about the dangers of vaccines. Please keep them to yourself. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Don't want to hear it. Evan Brown, Fox News Radio. For more information on this story, check out foxnews.com. Evan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You got it.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Yes, okay, fine. You can send me your text messages and yell at me on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. It was a very strong performance for Dino Rossi on Wednesday night as he took on Dr. Kim Schreier in the only debate for Washington's 8th District. And he joins us this morning to discuss what's coming up next in the campaign. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning, Jason.
So there were some shocking moments at the debate. I want to go through some of them because I have to assume that you were also shocked. At one point, I guess Dr. Schreier said Washington farmers are abusive, and I'm still trying to figure out what she was referencing.
You know, she was talking about a program where people come in on a guest worker program. And then she was saying that the farmers really were bringing indentured servants and that the farmers were abusive. My goodness. I mean, farmers are not abusive. You know, I've been endorsed by the Farm Bureau in every county and the State Farm Bureau in every campaign I've had. You want to talk about some great people. And she just doesn't get what she's the area she's representing. You know, a good portion of this district is you know, Chelan County and Kittitas County and Douglas County over in eastern Washington and then East Pierce County. You know, calling farmers abusive, I think they're going to have something to say about that after this debate.
Well, I hope they simply ask her, hey, who are you referring to? Can you point out the ones that are abusive? Because, you know, you would certainly like to go after abusive farmers. We're just not aware of any that she's referring to. At the same time, she claimed that she hadn't yet read the details of the NAFTA replacement, which seems incredibly important in Washington's 8th District.
would think so, since 28% of our agricultural exports go to Canada and Mexico. I think you really should be concerned about that. And then the refreshing of the intellectual property standards and rights and protections, which is all part of it, too, because, you know, you think a document is written a long time ago. There's all sorts of things that have happened to the tech community. And clearly, she didn't want to say anything, that the president has done was a positive.
Well, and for you, you also didn't want to say that you're going to back the president on absolutely everything, that you're going to work in the best interest of your district. And sometimes that means going against the president. Sometimes it means going with the president.
I'm going to represent the 8th Congressional District. I'm going to tell everybody when it's what I'm doing the campaign, what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do it. And if I get thrown out of office for doing what I said I wanted to do, it's not a job I want anyway.
Well, that's a fair point. This whole idea that you have to be beholden to people other than the actual constituents. And I just kept getting the sense yesterday that if this was a different district, Dr. Kim Schreier would be better suited. If this was something having to do with Seattle and not, you know, Covington or Buckley or Black Diamond or Auburn, yeah, she would be the right choice. But that's not the case. These are people.
It's not the case.
It's different values.
No, she actually doesn't get the area she's representing, and you think she's in downtown Seattle. And, one of the best parts about the 8th Congressional District is it's nowhere near Seattle. And so she's really out of place. She blurted out last night, at the debates, she blurted out that she wanted a universal basic income on top of that. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that one?
I did, and I'm glad you responded to that, even though I don't think her intention was to admit that. And it just shows you that. And actually, let's talk about that. So beyond the universal basic income, the question that was posed to her was, how do you plan for automation? And there's no doubt that the labor industries are actually currently being impacted by automation and robots doing these jobs. And her position was, I'll come up with a plan when it actually gets here. Well, number one, it already is here. But number two, you're not planning ahead of time.
Right. And then her fallback was universal basic income, which means that even the left-leaning think tanks say it would cost $3.2 trillion a year, which that means you'd have to double everybody's income taxes to pay for it. This was the solution she threw out. And then they came immediately to me and they said, do you support universal basic income? And my answer was, Jason, no.
Of course not.
I don't.
If you're just joining me, we're talking with Dino Rossi. He is running to replace the retiring Congressman Dave Reichert in Washington's 8th District. That's a very large district. I know a lot of you right now are listening in Sammamish, for example, in Maple Valley. You've got friends who live in Leavenworth, who own businesses there. It's really, really, really important to make sure that Dr. Kim Schreier, who, if you didn't realize, is a doctor. She told us that 17,000 times during the debate. She does not represent the values of the 8th District.
Not even close, and one thing, obviously, we need people to help us. If they go to DinaRossi.com, come volunteer. We're making phone calls, we're knocking on doors, we're doing all the things that need to be done to run through the tape and win this. And the likelihood of Nancy Pelosi being Speaker of the House again once we win goes down dramatically. That's why Nancy Pelosi spent more money against me than any other human being in America, because she has to have this seat. We're not going to let that happen. And one thing I need people to do is mail your ballot in early.
Yep.
Do it as soon as you get it, because every morning we get a list of all the people who have mailed in their ballots, and we can take them off our list, and our volunteers can go to the hard cases, the ones that are harder to get in. It really helps us if you mail it in soon.
Yeah. When you get your ballots, you need to vote immediately. And they've made it really easy.
Yep.
You don't have to put a stamp on it anymore, because I never find any stamps around and I usually have to wait. But now you can just mail it in or drop it off in one of the drop boxes. One issue that I briefly want to talk about, having to do nothing with Nancy Pelosi, nothing with the Democrats' hopes of taking over the House. It has to do with the fact that because Kim Schreier is such a radical for this district, the problem is you put her in office, no one is going to want to work with her, which means Washington's 8th District is going to be completely ignored. And this is not a district that can afford to be ignored.
No, it'll just be like the Senate 7th District in Seattle.
Yeah.
With the member of Congress there. And And when we're out on a real limb there, nobody talks to you, you have no power, you know, have no ability to work with people. And I pointed out in the debate that the whole idea, my whole goal was to show that I actually had experience of bringing Republicans together and bringing moderate Democrats with me and being able to bring work across the aisle on issue after issue. And that she has marched in more radical, angry protests in Seattle and parades in the district.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to get you anywhere when you're trying to bring people together.
So last question for you. An Elway poll came out. You saw a nice little post-Kavanaugh bump, and I know you're not just counting on that momentum going to be there in, 19 days or so. You still want people to make sure that they're going out and voting. There was a poll out by the AARP that showed you trailing a little bit with seniors. So I want you to specifically speak to their concerns on health care, what you've done in the past to protect them, and what you're going to do in the future to make sure that, their concerns are being addressed.
Well, we got to make sure that seniors get everything that they paid for, and they're counting on Medicare. And I've made that one of the cornerstones of this campaign. You know, and when I was writing budgets in Olympia, Governor Lockett actually proposed a $75 million cut to people in nursing homes, which would mean you'd have to kick people out in the streets.
Yeah.
I just wasn't going to do that. And I'm the one, even though it's the biggest deficit in state history, that figured out how to fill that and save the funding, which is why even AARP at the end of session referred to me as a senior star. I am not going to hurt the most vulnerable. I never have. That's why I even have awards that show that I've done everything I can to protect the most vulnerable.
Yeah. Dino Rossi is running for Washington's 8th District. DinoRossi.com. That's the place to go to learn more about where he stands on the issues and to register your support. Make sure that you're doing what you can. This is an incredibly crucial race for Washington State and for making sure the Democrats don't take control of the House. It's winnable so long as you actually vote and so long as you tell your friends and family members who live in the district to vote. DinoRossi.com. Dino, thank you so much for stopping by this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Really do appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much for giving us a follow on Instagram. We've been doing a lot more behind the scenes videos and we've been doing polls and whatnot. Go on Instagram and search for the name Jason Rants, JasonRantz. And you will be able to follow along with us if we get, because it's so late in the show, so we only got about 5-6 minutes left. If we get 20 follows by the end of the show.
What now?
20 follows. Producer Darren is going to streak in the newsroom.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Here's the good news. I will not live stream it on the Instagram.
Well, thank goodness for that.
But there'll be still photos because we got to blur stuff out.
Okay.
So, but he's already agreed to it. In fact, it was his idea. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
I didn't think he would volunteer for something like that, but that's what he wants to do. And who am I to get in the way of his dreams?
My dream of going to jail.
You're not going to go. Who's going to call 911 on you?
Pretty much anyone.
Oh, please. Well, that's a hate
building.
Crime.
It's a hate crime.
Because they don't like you for being a dude. Or conservative. There you go.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
Yeah. So like us on Instagram. Just look up Jason Rants. We are sending Darren to New York for the next few days because of the witch convention. They're going to put a hex on Brett Kavanaugh. You'll be getting photos of that. And so hopefully we'll be able to post a lot of them and any video on our Instagram feed as well. So that's a plus. Right? That's good. Yeah. Jason Rants on Instagram. I'm not going to belabor this issue, that this is a show that cares about cops. And I believe that you guys care about cops. And I believe it doesn't matter where it is you're listening. Maybe you're in Sammamish right now. Maybe you're hanging out in Renton and Puyallup, or you live in Everett, Spanaway, Milton, the gem of Pierce County. You care equally about Everett Police, Tacoma Police, Port of Seattle Police, Seattle Police. You care about them. You care about them equally because you understand the tough job that they have. You understand that every single day they put on a uniform to go to work that essentially serves as a big target on their back to bad guys who want to wish them harm. You understand that when you're in trouble, you call for them to help. And they run towards the trouble while we run away. You understand that. And that's why you care about cops. Right now in the city of Seattle, the Seattle Police Department is, in a way, under siege. Under siege by a lot of loud voices. Loud voices that want to see this police force be damaged. They want to run cops out of town. Now, on the one hand, that's good for the Bellevue Police Department or the Everett Police Department or the Tacoma Police Department, because that's just better cops for you to hire. But it's not fair. It's not fair. There is a contract that the Seattle City Council, if it were to vote on today, would reject. A contract that pays cops fairly, that gives them benefits that we would expect of our own jobs, that we currently get at our own jobs. But because in that contract, it makes it just a little bit harder to fire cops for misconduct, loud, angry anti-cop activists have put pressure on the council to vote no. There are three council members who are voting no as of right now. Shama Sawant and Mike O'Brien and Lisa Herbold. Now, Shama Sawant is virulently anti-cop, as is Mike O'Brien. You're not going to be able to change their minds. You will never change their minds. These are bad people who do not represent Seattle, who do not represent anyone in this region and their views on cops. They're extremists. But Lisa Herbold is someone that you can change her mind. I want you guys, for the first time in a while, to speak so much louder than the anti-cop activists here, because the good news is the anti-cop activists in the region, small in numbers, they're very loud. Very loud. We have way more on our side than they do on theirs. Why are we so quiet? Why are they louder than us? Can we do something about that? Can we change that? Can we all go online, go on Twitter, go on Facebook, go on Instagram, go on Snapchat, go on LinkedIn, and declare that we support the Seattle Police Department the same way we support the Everett Police Department, the same way that we support cops who are with the King County Sheriff's Office or the Pierce County Sheriff's Office? Can we just go ahead and do that? And more importantly, can we call and email and politely ask Lisa Herbold to support cops? Text the keyword COPS to 1-800-465-8770. And I will send you a link to my latest blog on this SPD issue for you to read and then share on Twitter and Facebook. And then I'm also going to give you the phone number for the office of Lisa Herbold so you can call her. So you can respectfully, civilly, have a conversation with her and her office explaining why you want her to support the SPD contract. Now is the time to mobilize. Now is the time to push back against the bad forces of Seattle that want to do harm to the police department. Now is the time to do that. So I need you, even though it's a Friday, we're all already, even though the workday for you guys haven't really started yet, we're already sort of thinking about the weekend, I need you today to spend just a few minutes on something that's so important. I need you to text the keyword COPS to 1-800-465-8770. Please do that now. Text the keyword COPS to 1-800-465-8770. Put my blog link everywhere you are online. Send it to friends and families. Email it. Pass it along. And then just spend 30 seconds with a phone call to Lisa Herbold's office telling her where you stand. Text the keyword COPS to 1-800-465-8770.